Hey, bro, how you doing, bro?
Hey, what's up, bro? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. What do you want to talk about today?
I think for today's show, we should basically speak on the Eagles and what we think. Well, not necessarily what, just besides the Eagles, get a little bit into the discussion about the Eagles and how the draft, how they might approach with the draft and this NBA thing that's going on, man.
Oh,
And
yeah, about the one and done.
yeah, and how the NBA is really trying to fix that, and what our thoughts and opinions on it.
Yeah, that sounds good with me, bro.
All right. So, Josh, basically, how do you feel about the NBA and Adam Silver reaching out to high school elite superstar talent players?
Based off of what I like watched and what I witnessed today on ESPN and like the other medias, like I finally Cabrini didn't have school today, so I had a chance to like sit back and relax today. But what I think about like going, I think it's a good idea only because right now the NCAA is taking a lot of heat with their players. Like we've seen the Arizona coach be caught, sending in over $100,000 to a player. We've seen Michigan State have allegations. Duke has allegations. Pretty much every top-notch NCAA basketball program has allegations. So it's gonna be, yeah. So I think the NCAA, it needed to change. And I mean, we see all these one-and-done players. A lot of them come into the league. A few come into the league and snap. But honestly, like the majority of the one and done players, it usually takes them a couple years to develop into something special. So they might as well just stay in college anyway for the extra years. But I mean, baseball has a good system where they have a minor league team where they reach out for players that are 16 years old and they sign them contracts and then they just play in the minor leagues and then they get reevaluated after a couple years. So I mean, hopefully the NBA can get into that direction where they can recruit like young high school players that have the potential to be in the NBA. They also have the option to go to school as well. But the NCAA, I agree, it should be I because college, you want to promote kids to go to college and actually educate and learn something instead of having these young athletes come out, only come to college, not really take college seriously for one semester pretty much. Like Ben Simmons said it best in his documentary. He didn't learn anything at LSU. All he did was just come play for a couple months and then leave and drop out of college. So, I mean, unless you're like NBA ready, like, 'cause there's always going to be those couple prospects that are like LeBron James coming out of high school where they already are NBA ready. Well, that's good for them. But for the majority of the players, you recruit them young, have them play in the G League or play in another league where it's sort of like how baseball has single A, double A, and triple A. Have a league similar to that. Maybe like the G League is triple A and have like another basic league for young high school prospects. And as they go through the ranks, I think, yeah, I mean, it's going to take a couple of years though. The one and done's still going to be in effect for a couple more years probably. It's going to take a little bit for the NBA to make a new system. They're not just going to make a new system overnight, so it's going to take a couple more years. But the one and done, I feel like with the allegations now, what the NCAA is going through, everyone's pretty much in competition with one another, and that's why we're seeing everyone do these allegations to get those top prospects. But I mean, that's pretty much what I think about it. I think it's good for the NBA, and it's good for the league and good for the young players too, because a lot of these players. Everyone benefits but the NCAA players when it comes to the media and stuff like that. We see on ESPN, like all the college games they get announced every Tuesday. Like every night I see a college game and the kids get no credit, but the media and everyone else does. So it's good for everyone in my opinion. So it's
Yeah.
gonna be a long process though. But what do you think?
Honestly, pardon me. I would like to see this thing go in two different directions. I mean, as we see every year, you know, we have the one and done kids. You know, these kids are recruited from grade school to high school, and you know, they always have the NBA high school, the high school ranks come out, and et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of these kids really aren't ready for that next level. And, you know, we've had athletes come onto our show in the previous past and, you know, how difficult it is for the transition from high school to college. And I'm it's going to be a lot more difficult, you know, for players that are 19 years old and are eligible to go straight to the NBA and be eligible for the draft out of high school, you know. So me, basically, what I would like to see this go is to, you know how in baseball you have your farm system, and yeah, NBA we have our G League, and you know, in MLB in their farm system, these organizations can draft these kids, but they have the rights to do what they to do as they please, you know, and as a meaning as I mean as your organization that drafted you makes a decision whether they want you to go back to school and play, or they want you to go from the, you know, single A, double A, triple A, and work your way up. And then from there, you get your call. And I think either they can go into that route, or personally, I'm going to go a little off topic here. I'm a big supporter of athletes should get paid, you know, like, and I'm going to go hit the football topic a little bit, is that, you know, a lot of football players in the NCAA for college football require 3 years of college football experience before they enter the draft, you know? So, honestly, I would like to see the basketball situation go that route, as a potential to go that route, require these players to play 3 years of college basketball so they can develop their strengths, they can develop their jump shot, whatever the case may be, you know. You're not going to, yeah, your game isn't going to develop overnight. And it's a quick period of time. And, you know, I know athletes that have been in a situation where they've been, I know a couple guys that have been one and done. And the transition for them is very, very hard. And it's, you know, you're a 17-year-old kid in high school. And then, you know, 2 years fast forward, you're already in the NBA. You're already having millions of dollars thrown at you. And it's sad to say it, because you're this highly recruited prospect. When you get to the NBA, you're not ready for that next level talent. And, you know, if we can go back into our previous discussion for this, when you said out of every draft, there's five players ready for the NBA, whether they're one and done or not one and done. And, you know, when you said that, it really hit me and it really triggered something. Like, Josh is right. There's really five players that really come into the NBA draft as rookies and then go on to play and really make an impact for their team. And I'm still going to support you with that. There's really only five players in every NBA draft that really come onto the scene that following season and impact their team and impact their organization and just make an impact on and off the court. There's really only five players that really do that. And, you know, what I'm just going to try and sum up is that, you know, I would like to either see the NCAA combined with the NBA. And, you know, if there's players that want to be one and done, they get drafted, these teams, these owners, these organizations hold their rights to the players' situation, whether they want them to stay in college or they want them to go to the G League. I would like to see them either go that route or the route where we can all come together in the NCAA and pay these kids some money. I'm not talking millions of dollars, $100,000s, but, you know, give them a little something, because they're really the ones risking their lives, their health, and et cetera, and they're not getting anything in return. And, you know, it's sad to say that they're really not getting anything in return, but from the coaches, they are. They have to take illegal money. You know, DeAndre Ayton, who's really arguably the top prospect to come into this NBA draft, we don't know whether he received $100,000 or not. But there's a recording saying that he was offered $100,000. Now, do I think that's a little bit ridiculous? Yes, because the kid's not in the NBA yet. So I wish they can all just come together and give these players some type of money, because all of these colleges, all of these universities are making millions of dollars off of these kids, off of these future talent prospects into their respective sport. And, you know, legally, they're not getting anything in return legally. So if they can come together and baseball and do the same thing that the NCAA on the college side, on the football side is doing, you have to have 3 years of college experience before you can be eligible to go play in that next level sport. So that's, yeah, because, that's yeah, the because, two routes I would like to see this go to.
Yeah, and to add on to your point, like, we see a lot of, like, NFL prospects when they get those 3 years in college. I recently, we've been seeing a lot of rookies come in and make impacts right away. Like, we saw Marshawn Lattimore this year. We saw Deshaun Watson before he went out.
Yes. Like, this is why the NFL competition is so next level, and there's always that competitive nature there. And when we come to the NBA, it takes, you know, players years to – for example, it took – I don't know how long J.J. Redick stood in college for, but it took him 6 years to actually develop. Who else?
Brandon Ingram's a perfect example. Like, he was
– yeah, he's it really took him young time and, to develop.
I mean, Jason Tatum, he started out great, but he's going through growing pains right now. And he's only – he just turned 20 years old the other day. So
exactly.
He's having a good year, Jason Tatum. But do I think he could have stayed in Duke for two more years and could have developed a little bit more and then came out?
Of course, all these players can use that extra little bit of help in college. And then, you know, and we also have to remember that these kids, they're student athletes. They're always a student before an athlete. And they get treated oppositely. They're athlete students. It's like their respective sport comes first, then their studies come second.
I know.
And what's to happen if their future doesn't plan out? Well, they only got 1 year of college, and they're about to go into this huge debt now because they got to go back to school to look for a future, to look for a career. Because
that's exactly what happens.
Out.
Yep. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here, bro.
I'm making sure that you're still there because you're glitching just a little bit. But just to add to your point, like you said, like when you're in college, you are a student athlete. Like we see in small schools, even here at Cabrini, like they're student athletes. We go to all the kids. They go to class. They put school first, and then they play basketball or they play football or play whatever sport they want. But with these big-time schools, since they're getting publicized so much, these players treat their sport first and then their academics. Like, and I mean, Ben Simmons' documentary is perfect. I recommend anybody watching. He explained his time at LSU as pretty much pointless. And I pretty much agree with him because he only really played LSU. He only stayed at LSU for one semester, and then he left to go train for the NBA. So, I mean, Ben Simmons obviously is a star, so he doesn't have to worry about that back option of what happens if I don't become successful. But mm-hmm. the average NBA player that's just coming out of like high school, that's going into college after 1 year and stuff, and turned out to be a bust, they don't really have another route to go, because you need in society now, you need some form of school to get to advance higher in the ranks. Like, I know there's every ways to benefit if you don't go to college, but I mean, now it's just trending. Like, I know for specific careers, like if you want to become a teacher or doctor or whatever, you need that degree. You can't just like go out of high school and expect to be a doctor. But like, it all depends on what you want to be. But for the most part, you need that degree to advance further in the ranks if you want to be a step ahead of somebody else. Because nowadays everything's competitive.
Exactly. And you know, what really, you know, I believe we all seem to fail and realize one thing is that, you know, we have kids who have dreams and ambition, I mean, ambitious, just ambitious dreams to being an NFL player or an NBA player or MLB player and, you know, just look at the NBA side. You know, it's like, to them, it's just like it's basketball, basketball, basketball. But you can't advance higher to that next level of competition if you don't pass school. And this one and done situation is just, to me, eating up the brains of these young kids who have dreams of and aspirations of being in the NBA. You know, to them, it's probably just eating up their mind. Like, well, I couldn't, like, for example, what you just said about Ben Simmons and his time at LSU. I can go to school for one semester. What is a semester is about, what, 4 months? Go to school for 4 months, play college basketball, and then expect to be in the NBA, making hundreds of million dollars and be the next LeBron James or the next Michael Jordan or the next Kobe Bryant or the next Larry Bird. And then when reality slaps them, there's no backup plan. And why is there no backup plan? Because the NCAA failed to put in these kids' minds school is first. That they're student athletes, not athlete students.
Yep. And that's why I think that Adam Silver, I think he's in the right mindset, and hopefully a change does happen. Because again, we need just like you said, we need to change the minds of the youth, because everyone sees everyone else. People see like LeBron coming out of high school. People see all these other athletes that only do 1 year, and they don't focus on school. And like, I don't know how many stories I've heard of former teammates. They sit up there and say, I could have went to a D1 school if my grades were good. If only if I had that 3.0 GPA or if I had that 2.9 GPA, who knows where I'd be right now. I would be at a D1 school where I would be more successful. But because I didn't get the job done in class, I didn't reach where I wanted to go. Like I've had friends that had D1 offers that lost D1 offers because of their grades in school. And hopefully the young generation can learn and realize that, like, there's a very slim chance for you to get into the professional sports, but always take school seriously. And if you're able to take school seriously, you'll have a better chance, especially in high school, you have a better chance of reaching your goals. And you also have a backup plan just in case if your goals don't go well.
You do, and that's exactly right. That is exactly right.
But yeah, are you ready to – anything else you have to say about this topic, or are you ready to transition to the next topic?
Yeah, I mean, we could just easily transition on since we were talking about drafts and between the NBA and the NFL. Basically, speaking upon drafts, we do have which we already talked upon yesterday's podcast, is the NFL draft and what we think the Eagles would do or what they should do. And how about what about you, Josh? I'm pretty sure you heard of the reports and whatnot about Nick Foles and us already receiving offers.
Yeah, I know. I've heard we received some offers. I know the Eagles were talking about doing a package too, right? I believe. I know Bradham and Allen were in the mix or something like that. I know the Eagles had, it was like small talks of adding a package with Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. But I mean we talked about this last night. Like, I'm only accepting a trade for Nick Foles if I'm getting two first or a first and a second, or a second round pick this year, because the Eagles don't have a second round or third round pick this year in the draft, I believe. I know we have a first round pick.
We don't have a second or third.
Yeah. So if a team's offering me a second this year and then a first round pick next year, I'll take that deal. But that's the only deal I'm accepting if it's for Nick Foles. If someone either gives me two first or a second and a future first, or I'm not getting a third round pick for Nick Foles, especially after the playoffs he had and the way out. His trade value is the highest it'll ever be.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yep.
I see you pinpointing back to the two first-round picks. Are you trying to iterate to me that you think Buffalo should take a chance on Nick Foles, since they're really the only, besides Cleveland, the only team in the NFL with two first-round picks?
Like if I was Buffalo, I would either do one. I would really do one of your first round picks, and then I would do like a future first or a future second, one of those. As long because Nick Foles right now, because we see with the Buffalo Bills and their situation, their quarterback Tyrod Taylor, the organization doesn't believe in him. Do I think Tyrod Taylor is talented? Yes, I do. But we already saw the head coach pull Tyrod Taylor already in the season for a guy that threw five interceptions in one game.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like, in terms of the organization, the Bills, they don't really believe in Tyrod Taylor. So would I think they should take a chance on Nick Foles? I would believe so. But, I mean, if the Bills were smart, though, I wouldn't. Because you don't want to be a prisoner in the moment. Like, if I was any of the other 31 teams, I wouldn't really offer Nick Foles two first-round picks only because I know that his trade value is going to go down in a little bit. But if you're in dire need of a quarterback now, then I wouldn't see the reason why the Bills would, like, you get what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't see the reason why the Bills would offer the Eagles a first-round pick and a second-round pick. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're in dire need of a quarterback now. So, I like, to add to your point, I think the Bills are pretty much like – the Bills and Browns are like the only teams that could. Because I know Kirk Cousins, everyone's waiting for what Kirk Cousins is going to do. Is he going to go to the Broncos? Is he going to go to the Redskins? Is he going to go to the – not Redskins. Is he going to go to the Jets? Is he going to go – like, no one knows where he's going to go yet. Like, I never talked about him going to the Vikings too.
Yeah. A lot of signs do point that Kirk Cousins can be going to the Vikings and is choosing the Vikings. But if we talk about package deals, you know, Nick Foles and a package maybe with Vinnie Curry to drop that salary dump. I wouldn't mind trading both of them, and you know, what I would like to see them get in return is a second and a third.
Yeah.
And possibly, you know, a future second or something. But I would definitely, you know, I don't see why we can't package Vinnie Curry with Nick Foles and both fifth round picks and, you know, getting a second in return, a third in return, and, you know, something else along the lines there.
But yeah, it feels good though knowing that Nick Foles and we're getting deals for Nick Foles though. So teams are acting on his performance in the Super Bowl. So on the least that perspective, I'm happy about that. But I just want the Eagles to be smart, and because this is the ideal quarterback situation you have. This is what every team dreams about. You have a guy that's content with being the backup and knows that the starting quarterback is more talented, but when the starting quarterback isn't 100% available, you have him to go to, the backup quarterback.
And
what Nick Foles did in the playoffs was absolutely sensational, and it's a perfect situation. If the Eagles don't rush it, you're not in dire need of it, but if a team offers you a good deal, then I would take it.
Yeah, I personally think it depends. I agree. I personally believe it'll depend on what type of deal we get. We did have a report coming out earlier saying that they did get one offer that was a respectable offer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we really don't know. And right now, it's just, you know, a waiting game and a guessing game on what's going to be going on.
Yeah, and it's just all about being patient, and that, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, because I mean, we pretty much nailed on Nick Foles and stuff like that. But dude, like we talked about a little bit. Who do you think the Eagles should look at for the NFL draft? Is your opinion still the same after last night, or are they still the same?
I would say that they're still the same. It really hasn't changed overnight. I mean, really, it's really all just a waiting game and a guessing game, because we still don't know what's going to be going on with Nigel Bradham. They're discussing whether taking another cornerback, and you know, we have Sidney Jones, we have Ronald Darby, we have Jalen Mills. You know,
to me, in a couple of years, our secondary and our defensive backs are going to be a wrecking force. And let's not to forget, we still have Rasul Douglas, and given his time, he was amazing. You know, given his time when Ronald Darby went down, he held his own, and he showed that he has a knack for the ball, and he's shown that he can play in this league. And let's not forget, we still have Patrick Robinson, who's just coming off his career year.
We have Sidney Jones too.
I did say his name.
Okay.
So, as far as our cornerback position, our cornerback depth, I don't know what they're going to do there. And, you know, we have – I don't know if you noticed or anything like that, but Jalen Mills is trying to recruit the Honey Badger over here, Tyrann Mathieu. He wants the Eagles to make a play for him, but is it possible? We don't know.
Because right now the cap, man.
Yeah, do we have the money for him? Not so sure again. And if, you know, we were to make decisions to open up cap space for him, then I don't see why we would re-sign Patrick Robinson.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of the NFL, this should, I was just looking it up. Le'Veon Bell, the Pittsburgh Steelers plan to franchise tag Le'Veon Bell again.
Yes.
Yeah, so he'll be the first ever running back to be franchise tagged twice. How do you feel about that? How do you think about that signing with Pittsburgh? I think Pittsburgh is milking it with Le'Veon Bell. It's only they're I don't know why they're cautious. I sort of get why they're cautious, because he's had two ACL tears, and being a running back in the NFL, your durability is very tough. But the Steelers continue to waste millions and millions of dollars a year, because you know how the franchise tag works. It takes the average salaries of the top five running backs. It goes by position. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are losing money and millions of dollars year after year after year. I mean, I get it that Le'Veon Bell is a talented player and one of the best running backs in the league, but you have holes on your defense that continue to not get filled because – you're scared to pay a guy money that he's worth. But how do you feel about the Le'Veon Bell franchise tagging?
If you ask me and what my personal opinion, I believe this organization is just burning a bridge between them and Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell wants to get paid, and he deserves to get paid. I mean, he's the best running back in the NFL. If you just look at it year by year, besides the two injuries, his name has been up there with another player's name. I mean, two seasons ago was Le'Veon and Ezekiel Elliott, and you also could throw in David Johnson. Last season it was Le'Veon and who else took the league by storm? I mean, every single year his name is up there in the top two discussion, or top three, you can say. And then the other two running backs that are in that discussion have yet to be there consistently.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt was this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, year by year, his name has been in that discussion consistently, year by year. And he's yet to be taken out that top three spot. So the man deserves to get paid. He wants to get paid. And I believe that, you know, if he says he wants to stay with Pittsburgh, I think the way that Pittsburgh is going about the situation is just causing him to not want to be there anymore, because you're not paying him the money that he deserves. So I believe if he's going to play out this franchise tag year and next season falls around, he's going to go elsewhere and you're going to lose your bell cow. You're going to lose that top two running back, you know. Then your window for a Super Bowl gets smaller because you don't have that running back. The third B out of the triple B is gone.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the problem I have with the Steelers is, like we saw in the Jacksonville game, the problem is it's not their offense, it's their defense.
Yes.
And with Ryan Shazier here, he said that he's not going to play this season. He's going to look for a I believe a 2019 return or something like that. Because he has to overcome a lot to get back in the NFL. He might be back towards the end of the 2018 season, but it's going to be his chances are very slim. And the Steelers have a lot of holes on defense, and if you lose Bell, then you need
exactly. They have a lot of holes. I don't mean to cut you off or anything like that, Josh, but they have a lot of holes on defense they need to fulfill. And your window with Ben Roethlisberger as your quarterback is closing because he's getting up there in age. And, you know, and we've seen this before, Antonio Brown is not successful without his quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger is his quarterback, and his numbers have dipped, you know, previously when Ben Roethlisberger was here, when he had Landry was the backup at one
point. Yeah, Landry Jones, I believe.
And then we had Michael Vick as, you know, the backup, and they couldn't connect, and they didn't have any chemistry there. So, really, without Le'Veon, your window is closing. And franchise tagging him and not paying him the money that he deserves is, like I said, burning a bridge between you and him. And if he goes, and that just causes more of a bigger hole to fulfill, because like you said, there's holes on defense you need to fulfill. You know, Ryan Shazier, believe it or not, Ryan Shazier was the backbone of that defense.
Yes, he was.
And we all seen when he went down, that defense was not the same. It was not the same at all. And that's a hole you got to fulfill there. You still have secondary issues. And now Le'Veon Bell, who's arguably the best running back in the game, is no longer there. And if you put all of that into consideration, there is no Super Bowl for the Steelers. The money that you just gave Ben Roethlisberger was for what? Antonio Brown, I believe he'll leave. If there's no Big Ben and there's no Le'Veon, he's going to step foot out the door.
Oh, yeah, and to transition real quick, you've heard of Marcus Peters and what he and where he is now. How do you feel about the Marcus Peters deal?
I think that it was a good pickup for the Rams. But if they were to retain Tremaine Johnson, it would be a lot scarier.
Yeah, because I know they also lost one of the defensive linemen.
They traded Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
Robert Quinn got traded. Tremaine Johnson is a free agent. And, I mean, was that trade, you know, the replacement for Tremaine Johnson? Possibly. They still have Malcolm Butler, who is also a free agent, on the free agent list. Maybe he'll go to the Rams. But that secondary and that defense on the LA Rams is something. They're vicious. They're hungry. They're dogs, and you can't teach a hungry dog how to eat, because that defense was hungry and they ate this season.
Yeah, no, and I mean the Rams are young and upcoming. I mean the NFC is gonna be a very tough conference, because now you got the Eagles riding high on their Super Bowl win, and they're young. You have Seattle, you have the Rams, you have – I honestly think if the Cardinals get a decent quarterback, they're back in the mix. Because there was talks about Fitzgerald talking with Kirk Cousins. Because the Cardinals have a good, solid team. They just don't get no love because Carson Palmer has been struggling lately, and he's towards the end of his career.
Well, didn't Carson Palmer just retire?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe he retired. I know Antonio Cromartie retired too.
I said Bruce Arians. I mean Bruce Arians. He retired as well. So they both retired the same season.
So yeah, because I knew Carson Palmer was done. He was getting a lot of hits and he was taking a beating.
Yeah.
But another topic that's interesting is, where do you think Jimmy Graham's gonna go? There's talks about him going to Houston, New Orleans, Baltimore and Denver, and possibly New England, because you know New England's always in the mix for everything. But where do you think Jimmy Graham's going to go?
I hope he doesn't go back to New Orleans. I hope he doesn't do that. For the simple fact is that we all have seen the way New Orleans was. It's a simple, if you just make the simple tackle, New Orleans is playing us in the for the NFC divisional game. And honestly, I really don't know where he'll go. I mean, I don't want him going to New Orleans, and I don't want him going to New England.
Because you know how New England always finds there's ways to get those key free agents.
Yeah, they do, and it's an every year thing. But if I had to go on a limb, I don't see Baltimore as a possible fit. I don't believe in Flacco. It's tough if you ask me. It's a tough call. But if you want my honest opinion, I say he's going to go back to New Orleans.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. I think either New Orleans, and I possibly think if he went to Houston, that offense with Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, Lamar Miller, and then you add
it'll get a lot better. It'll be something. It'll be a forcing work.
But yeah, those are the top two teams I think is New Orleans and Houston, only because of Jimmy Graham's history with New Orleans and the way how Drew Brees, they're literally, just like you said, one tackle away from being in the NFC title game against the Eagles, and who knows how that game would have went.
Exactly.
But man, yeah, that just adds to my point earlier, though, about the NFC and being so tough. The AFC, you literally have the Patriots, you have the wannabe great Steelers, you have the Houston Texans, can they stay healthy, the Jaguars, who have no quarterback, the Broncos, who have no quarterback, And that's pretty much it. I mean, the Chiefs, I mean, you already know what you're going to get with Andy Reid. You're going to get a team that's solid and good enough, but doesn't do good in the postseason. And then on the NFC, you have so many more teams that are just talented. The NFC is like the Western Conference of the NBA.
Right now it just is.
And then on the other side, you just have Tom Brady, like you have LeBron in the Eastern Conference. Very similar.
I'm still trying to think of Jimmy Graham as a possible target in which team. I mean, it's hard because he can literally go anywhere. I believe he can go anywhere he wants to go. I'm thinking about how would he look in a San Francisco uniform.
To play with Jimmy G. I like it.
I mean, maybe, who knows? Maybe he'll go there. Maybe if Kirk Cousins go to the Vikings, will he go to the Vikings? I mean, there's a lot of possible things. I mean, there's a lot of possible teams that he can go to. But as far as Baltimore, though, I don't see him going to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. I don't have much faith in Joe Flacco. I don't believe in that organization. I just think that him and Baltimore would do him no justice.
Yeah, because I know Baltimore's also had talks of getting Jarvis Landry too from Miami.
They have.
Yeah, like the only way I see Graham coming to Baltimore is if Baltimore finds a way to get Landry.
Mm-hmm.
If Baltimore gets Landry, now they have their number one, and then Jimmy Graham's like, "Oh snap, they have a number one receiver now," and then I'll come and join. But that's the only idea. That's the only situation I see Graham coming to the Ravens. But
I mean, even if they were to get Jarvis Landry as a possible target in Baltimore, I still don't see Jimmy Graham as going there.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, you ready to transition to our next topic, or are you ready to wrap everything up?
We can go on and wrap this up, bro.
Yeah, man. We've been talking for a good solid 40 minutes. I lost track of time. It's been a good one, man. We talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got Dante Fantuzzi in the house, and you also have Josh Sanchez here on Swoop Radio. It feels good to be back. Feels good to talk to Dante now. I'm glad that we found an app now where we don't have to meet up at Cabrini anymore. We can just talk sports over the phone. But hit that favorite button for both Dante and Josh and for Swoop Radio, because with Anchor, you can each person that talks in the chat can get a can get favorited by the same people. So you can check out.
Make sure Swoop, you guys go favorite me because I just made an account.
Of course.
And I'm going to need you guys to help me get my, my clout up, as they say it.
But yeah, you can also check out Swoop Radio on Instagram at Swoop Podcast _. That is SWOOPPODCAST _. Check out Swoop Radio on YouTube at Swoop Podcast. I know what Anchor is going to do within the next month is they're going to do you're going to have like video transcriptions or something that they're going to add some form of video to a podcast too. So stick around for that and stay tuned for that. It's going to be interesting. But Dante, anything else you want to add before we end this phone call?
We could just end it right now, baby.
All right, Dante, be safe out there, bro.
You too, Josh.
All right, have a good one, man.
All right, brother.